This is the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim society leader. The following khutbah, or sermon, was recorded Friday, September the 1st, the year 2000, at Kennedy King College in Chicago, Illinois. The title, The Quran and Muhammad, the Last Prophet.
Dear believers, again, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise and thanks to God, the Lord, cherisher and keeper of the universe, in the management of the heavens and the earth, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin abduhu wa rasuluh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. The prayers and the peace be on Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, and what follows of that salute to the last prophet, and upon his ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and upon his descendants, his companions, all be peace. And upon us be peace. We thank Allah for our life. To him we give worship only. We say laka nusalli wa nasjud. To him we give worship and make complete submission. Surrender our whole life and everything in our possession, our authority to our God, who made us, who created us, and created everything, and made it possible for us to have the things we have from his creation. Allah Most High says in the Quran that he gives the human beings their needs, their provisions, from the heavens and the earth. From the heavens and the earth. The sunshine, we couldn't live without it. It comes from above, comes from above. The rain, we couldn't live without it. It comes from above. And many other things come from above. But the most important thing that he gives us from above, that gives us life like the rain, spiritual life, after we have been dead spiritually, is his word, his revelation, that descended in the night of power to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. And we have it with us today, the Quran, the holy book of God, his book, a guidance to us and a purifier to cleanse our souls and our minds and our society, even the environment, of those things that are forbidden, the haram. And haram also is shirk, associating others as gods with God. Inna shirk la zulmun azim. Indeed, that is the worst form of oppression. The worst form of oppression, to put false gods over people. We're living in a day and time that needs more than ever religion, true religion, straight religion, honest, sincere religion. We need it more now than ever. Why? As I see it, because what the word of God came to mankind, or to the world of human beings, men and women, to prepare them for, is now here. Scripture came to prophets thousands of years ago, and who knows, maybe 20,000 years ago, maybe even longer, much further back than that. Allah says in his book, the Quran, he says that there has never been a nation that did not receive a messenger from God. God sent all of them, warn us, the word is, warn us. So there has never been a nation without a warner coming to it. Then that means the oldest records of any nation that they can find tells us that there was a messenger back then too. Not only a nation, but a messenger had come to them at one time or another in their life. We think of the Bible as a book of prophecy because it contains a lot of prophecy, but it also contains a lot of histories, and it contains a lot of stories, like the Quran, but much more than the Quran. The Quran is a condensed book. In the Quran, it says, it is written, and they are astonished, it is amazed, they are amazed that this book leaves no matter out, small, neither small nor large. Whatever has been revealed before is dealt with in the Quran. Neither small matters, neither big matters nor small matters are left out of the Quran. The Quran addressed them all. We hear many things as Muslims from the teachers, the imams, from myself giving a khutbah. And many of us think that what we are hearing is only from the Quran, only from Muhammad Islam, from Islam. Not necessarily so. I would say if most of what we give is not already given before in some other holy book or some other scripture, we are not given the truth. Because the Quran is a treatment of scriptures that came before, and an explanation and a completion. I'm giving you the words of God, not my words. This is what the Quran is. There are religions that don't have the idea of God that we have in religions like Judaism, Christianity, Islam, even Sabian religion that's mentioned in the Quran. These religions have similar design, similar construction, similar language, especially when we are trying to address God and what God is and who God is, and trying to address man, human beings, what the human being family is, and what our purpose is on this earth. These religions are all similar, very similar, very similar. But other religions like Buddhism, Hinduism, and there are many more, they don't claim to believe in a God like we believe in a God. Hinduism is filled with gods, as you know. They have many gods. Buddhism, they claim that they don't have a God. There's no God. Buddha is an enlightener. He comes to enlighten mankind, to educate mankind. He's not a God, they say. They say he's not a God. That's what the Buddhists say. Not what some books say that are written in the West over here by us or by some Westerners, but what they say. I've had occasions in the last 5 years of my life to meet with some of the most learned Buddhists on this earth. And I've learned from them things that I didn't know about their religion. Hearing from them, I'm convinced that they do have a God. They just don't have the language for it. They have a God. They definitely have a God. And the human being cannot exist without a God. Each and every one of you here, before you came to Islam, you had a God. And I'm not talking about what Christianity gave you. Even before you went to the church, you had a God. Man cannot exist without a suspicion that there is a power over him, that there is a higher power, authority over him. He can't exist without that. Now, he may give a different description, but we all feel the same thing in our souls. So we all have God. But our minds, our own reasoning, without God's guidance, gives us false gods. Gives us false gods. And this is the history of mankind, the history of human life on this earth. This is the history of human life on this earth. Having this feeling inside and trying to give a description to what we sense in our souls. And we do it with our own minds over the history, the many thousands of years of human history. We can see how this human family have evolved and have come into a rational belief, a rational religion, a rational faith. Early attempts to establish a religion may show nothing but guesswork, fear, superstition. It shows only what has been in the dreams of those people, in their dreams, in their nightmares, in their troubled times, when they were fearing the storm would wipe their village away forever, or the drought would never end and they would all die, or when they wanted to plant a crop and put all their sweat and blood into it and was hoping for a big yield at the end of the season when harvest time comes. And they strained to pray to a power outside of themselves, bigger than themselves, that they believed could answer their prayer. And what they came up with was their own religion, not necessarily humanity's religion. But these other religions that I name, that are kindred religions, the religion of the Sabians, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, these religions, they are religions for humanity, not for necessarily for a tribe or a segment of this population on this earth of human beings, but for the whole humanity. Those religions are truly revealed religions. Revealed religions. And as I said, even in ancient times, if there were nations on this earth building roads, as we are told in history, and houses and fortresses, etc., that having trade on the high seas in ancient times, many thousands of years ago, they must also, according to the Quran, we must, I would say, also accept that they had messengers come to them. That means if messenger came to them from God, the messenger came to them to advance the knowledge of the religion of humanity. See, there's a difference between religion and religion. One is religion of humanity. The other is imagination. As Allah puts it in the Quran, dhanna, ibn dhanna. Only guessing and imagining. God inspired the seeker to seek what is good for his human existence, not for his African existence, not for his European existence, for his human existence. And we have lived, well, we're blessed to be living in the end of time for this progression. By progression, I mean this continuous effort over the thousands and thousands of years to inform man of his own reality and how he is made and given that reality by his Lord, the God, the creator of everything. To advance that knowledge in mankind has been going on for thousands of years, and now we have lived to see the conclusion of that. Isn't it a wonderful time? It actually concluded as revelation 14 centuries or so ago, when Muhammad received in the night of power the first words of God to him for mankind. Now, the Quran in its completed script. Wonderful! People say, oh, why should I believe in God? If you were educated in religion, you would never ask that question. If you were educated in religion, you could easily ask that question for anybody. So why should I believe in God? Because God's word has proved true against all other words. God's authority has prevailed over all other authorities. And the world today looks exactly like the prophet said it would look 1,400 years ago. It looks just like they said it would look. God told them how it was going to look in the end, and that's exactly the way it looked, just like they described it. That's why you should believe in God, if you have no other reason. But if you are an honest human being, you should believe in God because you have nothing else to help you except God when you get in serious trouble. Every human being knows that. When we were slaves, we knew the white master that enslaved us. We knew he wasn't going to answer our prayer. So we had forgot the name Allah, Jehovah, and that, whatever. We had forgot all that. But we learned from him the English word God. And we called on God. You need a language, some language. If you don't have one, you will form one of your own. It's a human being. Intelligent, inventive creature. Praise be to Allah. If you knew how I felt now, you would feel 100 times better than you feel now. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Only my Lord knows how I feel now. I'm seeing, as I'm talking to you, the reality. And it makes me want to just be absolutely still. My mouth, my tongue, my limbs, even my heartbeat wants to slow down. It is something. You can't be ignorant and appreciate this to the extent that I do. God has made me wise. A long life bottle. When I was in my early years, 20s, 30s, even the beginning maybe of my 40s, I couldn't appreciate Revelation, the prophet, peace be upon him, and the human being himself in the excellent mold that God made him, like I do now. No way. As you become more educated, then you have a bigger picture of truth, therefore a bigger appreciation for truth. Never will all the people be equal in knowledge. God didn't make us like that. All of us will be knowledge, have knowledge, but never will all of us be equal in knowledge. So if we're never going to be equal in knowledge, then that means we are never going to be equal in our appreciation for this religion. You get the logic?
Yes, sir.
So God has made mothers and fathers to take care and protect children and see them up to manhood, or as prepared as they can make them for the challenges of this world. And God has made prophets and messengers and religious teachers who are under those prophets and messengers the guardian of the faith, the guardians of the faith. And we have to appreciate good. This is not for me. I'm out of the picture. I don't see myself when I'm talking like this. We have to make our proven leaders who have proven their virtues to us, who have proven that they are virtuous people, first that they're faithful people, they have faith in God, they're faithful people, and they're virtuous people, and they are studious people. They study. Studious people. And are compassionate people. And generous people. We have to support them as our leader. And you sit before them like you're sitting before me now, most of you. Allah has blessed me also with good people to support me. You sit before them and you listen attentively, and you don't be looking for something to condemn. You be looking for something to support your life and help you with the job of living on this earth with your relatives, with your neighbors, with the world. Be listening for that. Don't listen for something to increase your doubts. Listen for something to increase your faith, and you'll be successful, and we'll have a great community. We'll have great communities if the people of faith would do that. Yes, great communities. There's nothing new. Human life is nothing new. It's the same now as it was 6,000 years ago. Or 4,000 years ago, or 8,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. Human life is the same. There are two types of human beings. One is a human being that feels indebted. And the cause of feeling indebted wants to help somebody else, wants to do something for somebody. Then there's the other kind of human being. That human being does not feel indebted and want to get something from somebody else. Want to get, not give. That's the two. And God calls it what? Those who are ungrateful. the ungrateful, and the grateful. That's how he separates them. The ungrateful, they are in degrees. And the worst of them is the Satan, the Shaitan himself. He is the most ungrateful of all creatures. Satan, Shaitan in Islam. Satan, the most ungrateful of all the creatures. And he depends on the ungrateful to support him and his design on the world, his plan for the world. So he's constantly working on those who have weak faith to get them to throw out all faith and become ungrateful. Then he can use them. They are his then. They are with the devil. Well, in our religion, we are told of the end of days. That language sounds more like Bible, doesn't it? Yes, the last day, the end of days. We are told of the conclusion of things, that this world, all of it, has been formed upon a logic and a law. And this universal logic and these universal laws that expresses this logic in different branches, in different forms, is cherished by the devil, the Satan, the Shaitan, who sees it as his tool. His tool for putting him up as the God of mankind. Now he is only thinking. The devil thinks. Shaitan thinks. He, in his own thinking, never sees himself in this light. He never sees himself going against the Creator God, God the true God, who is the Creator. There's no other God except the Creator. He sees himself as an aid, as an agent, aiding God. He interprets God's law and the logic for himself. And he thinks because he's able to perceive it, to know it with his own mind and thinking, that it's intended for him. So the logic is his possession, he thinks. Now God says, you made me a fire, and you made me to have this knowledge that I have. Why don't you let me use it? Why do you make me for it and don't let me use it? Why are you going to give this human being, this goody-goody, who doesn't know how to use falsehood and sin and corruption, to beat these dumb, stupid humans of yours into submission so they will be ready for you? I'll get all of them ready for you if you leave them to me. When I get through with them, they'll be begging for you. They'll be begging you to come into their life. But God says, no, I do not advance truth upon falsehood. So he cut him off, told him no, and rejected him. And he was hurt so bad. He said, since you have disappointed me like this, then I'm going out. And I'm going to go to these humans from before their faces, from behind their backs, from their left side and their right side. Say, when I have finished with them, you won't have any worthy of what you've given them, except the very few, your elects. And God gave him that freedom. God created everything to be free. Yes, God created everything to be free. You say, a stone ain't free. That's what you think. You think a stone ain't free. It may not be free to move about like you, but it's free. It ain't got nobody dictating what it should do. You never see it trying to polish itself up. You have to polish it up yourself, don't you? Nobody dictating anything to it. It has nothing to affect this life except this life. Its existence. That's what I mean by that. All right. Now, before the world was made in our religion, and it's in the Bible too, if you know how to find it, how to identify it, it is said by our prophet, peace be upon him, Muhammad, the messenger of God, that God invited the archangel Jibril, Gabriel, in Christian language, Gabriel, to come and see the great world that he was about to form. And he showed it to Gabriel. This is the hadith, the reports collected by Bukhari and Muslim and some others. So he reported that God showed the creation to Gabriel, Jibril in Islam. And when Jibril saw it, he said, "My Lord." See, you didn't know Jibril had a Lord too, did you? Yes, the Holy Ghost got a Lord too. He said, "My Lord, how can anyone go wrong in such a wonderful world?" Then God showed him the same world that he was going to create after Satan had got into the picture and influenced the world. And when Jibril looked at it, peace be upon Jibril, he said, "My Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a world?" So that's telling us, that's really education, that's to educate us. That's telling us that if it was not for Satan, everybody would have a good life. If it was not for Satan deceiving you out of your form that God put you in, everybody would have a good life. And that's also saying that man is created good. You hear me? That's also saying that man is created good. But it's the tempters to tempt him out of his nature, his form, his original nature, and his original form that's responsible for him having the bad life that he has. Satan, the adversary, the enemy of all human beings. He's the enemy of human beings. The enemy of all human beings. He doesn't want us to be the human that God made us to be. And prophecy, before and with the Quran, warns us of that plan of Satan to bring humanity down and prove mankind unworthy of this great intellect that God has created him with, unworthy of it, this great tool that produced out of the world, original world that God made, all of these beautiful worlds of art and science, etc., that man himself has created. So Satan, he wants to prove us unworthy of that freedom and that great station that God created us for in his creation. He wants to bring us down. Now, the end of the world, what do we expect the picture to look like in the end of the world? In the end of the world, according to the word of God, man will be so taxed, so heavily burdened with things to do
He'd be so busy with things to do that he won't have time to reflect, to do some moral thinking, to do some moral thinking. So the cause of this, the cause of him being, his energy, mental energies being so overly taxed, being so fully and completely used up, used or occupied, his mind, that is, he won't be in a situation to keep the moral life that an ignorant man in a normal situation can manage. So the devil will be making great strides. Satan, Shaitan, will be making great strides. In the end of time, we expect to see the worst picture of corruption. The end of time. Much of what we hear as statements seem to be statements in the past time. Were not as much statements for the past time as those statements of revelation were and are for the present time. Corruption has spread it over land and sea. Land and sea. This is in the Bible and also in the Quran. In the Quran. And crowds will be going hastily, moving hastily about, people in crowds. And there'll be a lot of noise. Now, when these revelations were given, the world was very quiet, relatively speaking. In fact, it was silent almost, relatively speaking. It was silent, a very quiet world, the earth, that is. So if it's prophesying, it's scripture, scripture's telling us that there are coming a time when man's life, man's society will be crowded, and there will be a lot of noise. Don't look back there, look at today. There have never been crowds like we have today on this planet. And there have never been noise like we have on this planet today. So we're living in a time of the conclusion of the revelation. The revelation concluded as a communication to man from God, as I said earlier, a little better than 14 centuries ago. But what the revelation came to tell us of that's going to occur on this earth is being concluded now. In our time, it was not in my grandfather's time. It was not even in my father's time, but it is in my time, and that's your time because we're all here together. In our time, we're seeing the end of the world. Now, I'm not pointing to the honor of Elijah Muhammad to say he's any more than I told you he was 25 years ago. He's a man. Not a prophet, not an angel, just a man. But he's a man used by higher power. Okay? Not mission by higher power. Used by the higher power. And his people are people. Not missioned by the higher power. But used by the higher power. And because his race and him, in the position that we're in the realities of this world, we are more conditioned to strain for truth than other people. We are more in a condition to strain for answers than other people. So So our psychic energies are higher than other people on the whole. Our psychic perception is greater than theirs on the whole. Yes. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke things that have come true. He said, when I am finished, it will be the end. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed in 1977. 75, pardon me. I don't know why I said 77. 2 years later. Yes, I do. Because most things come to their conclusion in seven. Maybe that's why. That was working in the back of my mind. Yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed in the year 1975, and by the end of the 70s, the world was finished. You're looking for the physical destruction of the world. That's not what Scripture is about. Scripture is not about the physical destruction of the world. It comes to destroy what man did to the world. It doesn't come to destroy the original world that God made. Nothing went wrong with the sun and the moon as God made it. And hence, nothing is wrong with the earth as God made it. But the bad world that the man has made, and the Satan, following the Satan of this earth, the bad world, the bad earth that man has made of this earth, following the Satan, that's what has to be destroyed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us, and within a few years of his passing, we could see the end of the world had come. The presidents of this land just didn't have the spirit and enthusiasm that they had in earlier times, in the earlier history of this nation. Not even the enthusiasm that John F. Kennedy had, or Lyndon Baines Johnson had. The later presidents just seem to have lost their enthusiasm, lost their light, lost their spirit. And we've gotten used to it now after having about two or three of them. We think they're all right. They are all right. They're very good people for the time. But they don't have the vision and enthusiasm that presidents had before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's passing. Sin just went to its extreme. Everything, just everything came out. Approval for anything, everything. Corrupt and wrong. It started long before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, but after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passing, the crowds, the public, changed their whole mind and attitude toward obedience to a higher authority. They think it ain't serious. They came to think they're not serious. God, obey God, believe in God. You're not serious, are you, buddy? Yeah, I'm religious, all right, but that's too much to think about. Homosexuality. You're afraid to speak against it now. You're afraid you might be hated by everybody. You might become a bad guy if you say something against the homosexuals. Drugs came out of the black man's neighborhood, went into the white man's neighborhood. Came out of the poor people's life and went into the rich people's life. Came out of the fool's lives and went into the learned people's lives. Drugs! All these things just went rampant. If that ain't a sign of any time, what is? And everybody wants to have more money than they know they can possibly earn. everybody. No matter how dumb, how unskilled, want to have a lot of money. Got to have it. And don't want to admit that they're poor to anybody. You can't hardly find a person that will admit they're poor. Only when they're at home. By themselves. When they step out that door, they try to make you think they got money. Oh, how much is that? Well, I really wanted that. Can you put it in the layaway for me? And they know it'll be there long after they're dead. They will never legally get enough money to get that buy that thing. But you put it in the layaway for me. No, I don't have quite enough space for it now. I'll come back. They want to admit, I don't have enough money to even be in your store. I'm supposed to be on my block buying what's there, waiting for somebody to bring me something. Poor, but don't want to admit it. In our holy book, God says,